And we are back with a special Thursday edition of Georgia Paul Radio on the Sully Show. Sully's running the boards for us, and he'll be back up in the next hour with his usual cast of characters. And I believe we have a caller. So before John and I get into presidential politics on our own, let's believe it's Howard.
Hey, man. How y'all doing today?
We are good. How are you today, sir?
Doing fine. Enjoyed the conversation.
Appreciate it. What you got for us?
Quickly. I already voted for Trump. I think the big thing between now and talking about Newt is Donald Trump has taken out the donor class. He gets free press, and he's eliminated that part of the narrative, and I think that's one reason why I don't think he can be stopped.
I'm starting to think you might be right. I'm going to hope you're wrong, and I think I've been pretty honest and direct about that. But I guess the question that I have for most Trump voters, and you sound like you're approaching this logically, so we can have a logical discussion, in 2008, I guess it was, we kept hearing about hope and change. And then in 2009, those of us that didn't vote for hope and change kept saying, is this the change you wanted? And it sounds like you very much want change. Are you confident you're going to get the change you want from a guy that can't seem to hold a position even to finish a run on Senate? Because I don't feel any confidence. I definitely believe we're going to have change if Donald Trump is our nominee and or the president. I don't know what that change will be because I don't really know what I think he stands for.
Well, I can understand that, but I think I'm in the camp that right now I just feel like we've been lied to so much by the politicians and the ones in Georgia that the old stuff is not going to work anymore. Granted, Donald Trump may be a bit of a wild card, but I'm going to go ahead and go for it, and like I said, I voted for Trump.
I mean, I respect you saying it, and I respect you putting your name on there. We're going to talk a little bit about a Trump voter and Trump voters, and I want to make sure to our listeners and to you directly that we're not talking about you, because one of the things I said in that last segment with Aaron Shinen is when I talk to people that are Trump voters and or supporting them, it's not one reason. And so we cut you off there before, but there's one that's coming up, and I do not want to associate you with this person because, again, a lot of Trump voters are being painted as being racist, and I know many of the ones that I know that are telling me are not, but there's also between Twitter, there's a group, but there are various, even the Twitter handles make it very clear, it's a group of white supremacy groups. And we just received notice that David Duke, a former Grand Wizard, I believe, of the Klan in Louisiana and a longtime Louisiana politician, has basically stated that if you vote against Trump, it is a disgrace to your heritage. And one of the problems that not only Trump is going to have, but the Republican Party is going to have, it's an identity association problem. And Donald Trump will not repudiate people that are openly advocating white supremacy and or other issues. And so when you want to get in and you want to solve immigration issues, and for the people that want that solved that are not racist, that just want Americans to vote in, you want to be citizens to vote and a citizen to have the benefit of being in America, and otherwise people that are here that are guests to be here documented and legally, there's people that can say that are not racist. I can say pretty much a good bit of that is my view. But when you have people then supporting Trump that say that, it's very easy to brand everyone the same, and that's one of the issues we have. But at the same point, this is where we bring John into the discussion, I think that when you say that Republicans are lying, and that's one of the things I think Howard just said, that Republican politicians are lying, you've got to basically broaden that out beyond politicians or define what a politician is or what the quote-unquote establishment that we're trying to take down is, because the one thing I think I can say about why we have a Donald Trump right now, it's not just the politicians. It's that we have created an industry in the Republican sphere, all the way from blogs, of which I participate in one and now have a new one, up through national blog talking points to Fox News and anyone that would fit in that space that has made, you can make a really, really good living as a quote-unquote conservative now, and all you have to do is be against whatever you can not define the establishment is. The undefined establishment, as long as you're against that and you can say that Republicans aren't doing good enough, you can get people to follow you, and you never have to be for anything. You just need to be against whatever the Republicans are doing. And we've got people now that are preaching against, and when they say, like, the Republican Congress isn't doing what they need to, and that's pretty much the accepted statement without challenge from the right, not from the left. I mean, Democrats are attacking it clearly because they're Democrats. But our own Republicans that should, you know, when we kind of started getting right-leaning media, which was supposed to counteract the Democrats, instead they want to top the Democrats with saying how much the Republicans aren't doing. And the one stat I have that's very specific is when the Republicans took over Congress in 2010, 4 years later, the budget, the discretionary portion of the federal budget was smaller. And most people have no idea. That's not we cut the rate of growth. That's not we grew the government slower, not faster. We had an actual real dollar cut over a four-year period because we put in a Republican Congress that put in a sequester plan. It wasn't perfect, but we actually cut the discretionary part of the budget, discretionary meaning not Social Security, because no one, most Republicans, politically, you go in and try to cut Social Security, you'll find out what being a minority party is all about because you'll be in it. Medicare, again, very complex, but under ACA, very little you can do there. It's an entitlement. Without real bargaining on ACA, which the president won't do, you're not going to cut that. You can't cut the interest on the national debt. So that's already baked in the cake. And the part you can cut, including military, which I don't necessarily agree with, and that's why during this last budget deal, we put more money back in the military, which is what everyone's howling about. But the Republican Congress has actually been doing what they elected to do within the constraints of what even our own party will let them. But you never hear that. The people that, frankly, are lying to more Republicans, if I have to say who's a liar, I will put it on right-leaning media that will not tell the full story because they make money off convincing you that someone is out to get you, someone's picking your pocket, and it's the Republicans because they're the ones in charge. And there are people that will not participate constructively to tell the whole story. And then they tell people like me that we're if you ever say something like what I just said, I'm just a rhino squish. But you know what? I got over people calling me names when I was in kindergarten. It doesn't bother me. But the people I know that generally are supporting Trump, I would put in that category. That we've bought the argument that it's our politicians that are lying to us when we're listening to people that are making an awful lot of money off us, and they. The problem, you know, the problem with that is that the people in right media do a lot better when we're in the minority, because then you can just attack constantly the Democrats, and they're not happy when we're in the majority party that the majority has to govern, and these people don't want us to govern, and they want to sell us on the idea that we shouldn't even have a federal government, we shouldn't have federal taxes. But again, you put that on the ballot at any time without preparing people for how they're going to be better off if we didn't have that. You never really hear that part of the conversation on right media. All you hear is no. And anyone that won't take the most conservative position of shutting everything down somehow becomes a rhino squish, and you just never really have a make government work slash make government live within its true means and a path to get there kind of argument. And so, yeah, I've actually come, I'm starting to reconcile the fact that maybe we won't, you know, maybe we will nominate Donald Trump, and I have no idea what I do there, but the man is not a conservative. The man has never represented conservative principles. And I am not obligated. If the Republican Party decides to go that way, I have to think long and hard of what being a Republican means and if I can continue to be part of it. That's just me speaking for me. But he has the highest unfavorables of any candidate Gallup has ever recorded. And that does not speak well for his electability in a general election. But we'll see what happens. John, jump into any of that. What's your take on what's going on and what will happen here Tuesday?
And I'll do a quick take on Trump. I think that the people are expecting Trump is going to do things, and you mentioned cutting the budget, and specifically in order to deal with this great debt that Trump rails against, you're going to have to do something about Social Security and Medicare. You're going to have to fix those because those are driving the debt. You can't fix we've done the best job we can trying to fix the interest rates. Now it's Social Security and Medicare. But what will Trump not do? He has pledged to preserve Social Security and Medicare. And I got a tweet. I was looking for it. I can't find it right now from a Trump supporter who said, you know, Trump is going to preserve Social Security and Medicare for us. You know, we worked all our lives. We deserve it. So for folks who are expecting cutting debt and doing the things that, quote unquote, the Republicans were not wanting to do, they're not going to get that. And it takes me back to a town hall that I saw with Congressman Rob Woodall back last fall, I think, or last spring, where the folks in the audience did not believe that Republicans were against Obamacare. And when this thing was over, I looked at the congressman. The congressman said, hey, if they don't believe we're against and trying to fight Obamacare, we've got a real communications problem. And I think that's part of the issue that Republicans are going to have to face and part of what brought up Donald Trump.
Yeah. Like I say, I don't intend to intentionally demean anyone at this point that is supporting Trump. I mean, that is the beauty of a representative democracy, is everyone gets the opportunity to support for the reason they want to support. And I think more people do need to spend more time trying to listen. And I've gone from being totally dismissive of Trump and lumping all of his supporters into that category that is uncomfortable. But at the same point, I just cannot get to the conclusion that he will be good for the party, and even more importantly, that he'll be good for the country.
Guys, thank you. Elena George of Liberty HealthShare, up just after 1 o'clock, along with WGST's new partnership with local graffiti writers to help promote itself, and how Taylor Swift's music is helping keep inmates under control in the state of Alabama. That next on The Sully Show on WGST.